Right, well, we're talking about Jabez. And when I saw that on the People of God series, I must confess, I was thinking, what? We're talking about Jabez? But why am I saying that? Why do you think I was surprised that would be on the People of God series? Or weren't you surprised that it was on the People of God series? Anybody else surprised? You're surprised. Why are you surprised? Yeah, exactly. There are two verses that mention him. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. That's the only place. Anybody heard of Jabez, by the way? Isn't that amazing? We've all heard of him. Why have we heard of him? Because of the prayer and because of the... There was something, a book, wasn't there, that went around the prayer of Jabez. A whole book written about this, which attracted quite a lot of controversy, divided opinion. But we've all heard of Jabez, haven't we? That was amazing. Can you scroll down, please? No, high tech. Look at that. Fantastic. Jabez. I've called it genealogy gold, this slide, because anybody like reading the genealogies in the Bible? Oh, we have one. Anybody else? There's always one. Yeah. I must confess, I'm a bit of a genealogy geek. I do read them, and I try and understand what's going on, follow, but they're deadly dull most of the time. Honestly, they are deadly dull most of the time. But every so often, you're trudging through all the dullness, and something leaps out. It's like finding a nugget of gold, and you've been panning through dirt. It's just like that. And this is one of those times, and you're panning through the first few chapters of Chronicles, which are mostly just lists of people without much interest. This one is fantastic. And so there it is. We can read it out together. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. And that name means he will cause pain. Great. Hello, he will cause pain. Welcome, he will cause pain. Good to see you, he will cause pain. Oh, dear. Sorry? It's a horrible name. It's a curse. Now, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what it requested. Interestingly, New King James has, keep me from harm, that I may not cause pain. They've got a play on words with his name. And no other version says that. I can only assume that the translators of the King James Version thought that was a good thing. There's enough in those Hebrew words to make it possible. But all the other translations have that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. What strikes you as odd about that prayer that we should celebrate? It's a massive prayer, yeah. Anything odd about that? It's possessive. What do you mean exactly? Come on. It's for himself. Get more down and dirty with it. It's selfish. That's what I'm looking for. Doesn't it not appear selfish to you a little bit? No. Yeah, that's good. That's good. It appears that way to start with, and that's what caused all the furore around the book, really, the fact that it was encouraging people to pray selfish prayers, in their opinion. But I agree with you, it's not selfish. And if we scroll down, I think I say that. Oh, no, look. But before I got onto the talk, I should have said, I hope you're enjoying the 21 days of prayer and fasting. God is gentle. He comes where he's invited. So this is a special season for us to be praying and asking the Lord to do stuff. And for me, the Alpha Course was just a fruit of that, to see so many people come. So, and anybody go and see... Pete Gregg the other week. Yeah, wasn't he fantastic? I love what he's, I mean, I'm partway through his book. I haven't got very far with it yet. Got too many other books to read for my MA. Not a couple of essays, just two essays to go. Pray for me. But this, the book that he wrote, How to Pray, is brilliant. And he told some great stories from it on the evening. But I love this. I love this simple acronym. It's the best one, I think, that I've come across. We've all had them, haven't we? We've had the ACTS and we've had, you know, all kinds of other things. But this one, pray, is really good. We've had push, pray until something happens. But this one, I love it. It's pray, rejoice, ask and yield. Sorry, pause, rejoice, ask and yield. Simple, really simple, almost childlike, but very profound. Very profound. And so if you want to look at that book, I recommend it to you. He always tells fantastic stories. He told great stories on the night. And stories are things that really help our faith. So, okay, we're going to look at this prayer of Jabez and the life of Jabez a little bit. And we're going to see that it's good to be real because God hears, God answers, and God redeems. Can you scroll down, please? Okay, look at that. Be real. And I said, is it a selfish prayer? And I say, possibly. You can see it that way if you want to. But actually, I think it's not far from the mark. And one of the things that struck me while I was reading it this week is it kind of reflects learning. It kind of reflects that he might have been meditating on the lives of his forebears, on the fathers. Because if you look at the lives of the fathers, they kind of sum up what he prayed. You know, there's Abraham, and what did God teach Abraham? The very first thing he taught him was this. What? See, don't sit in the front row because I'm always going to pick. What's the very first thing God taught Abraham? Don't look at your dad. No, you should look at your dad. It's good to learn from you. He's a good man. What did the Lord teach Abraham first off? I'm going to bless you. Yeah, simple. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour out so much blessing in your life, it can't be contained. It's going to bless every family on earth. Yeah? Isaac, nothing much happens with Isaac, but you get the sense that he's kind of expanding the territory inside of Canaan. He's actually retracing Abraham's steps a bit, but reconfirming and establishing something there. And Jacob, of course, he was a scallywag, wasn't he? Yeah? He was a scallywag. He was terrible. He was a trickster. He conned his brother out of his inheritance. He then went on to trick his uncle uncle was trying to trick him, but he out-tricked the uncle. You know, and yet he knew the favor of God. God was with him. And he wrestled with God till he got that blessing, but he knew that God was with him. He knew he had the favor of God. And then you get to Joseph, of course, and, if everyone's seen stuff they don't want to see and think that God's let them down, Joseph would have had the right to have said that. But there's no hint of that in Joseph's life. There is a hint of the fact that God produced good out of whatever people tried to do to him. And God was faithful to him and kept him from harm. Not only did he keep him from harm, he kept the whole world from harm. Everybody was protected thanks to Joseph's faith in this God. So, but you can see how this little prayer kind of follows. If you meditate on the lives of his fathers, you might have learned some stuff. That, wow, actually, this is the kind of thing you do, God. Please do it for me. Yeah? It's a good thing to do, isn't it? So I thought, wow, I was blessed by seeing that. I'd not seen it before this week when we started to meditate on it. So, and of course, Jesus comes. He perfects this, doesn't he? Because it is a bit selfish, if we're honest, because it is a bit me-focused. And actually, what Jesus says is, "It's don't be with me, but be with us. It's our Father." I love that. It's an inclusive prayer. It's an intimate prayer. It draws us straight into intimacy with God, but it's bringing everybody we're with in at the same time, everybody that we love in at the same time. Maybe even our enemies at the same time. There's no us and them in our. It's just our. And and of course, it's not bless me, but give us our daily bread. You know, it's again, but it's a very straightforward thing. You know, come to God, give us. Jesus encouraged that. So, you know, Jabez wasn't off the mark. I'm in. And keep me, again, it's deliver us. God loves to deliver. So Jesus comes and teaches us those things. I love the fact, by the way, that this we're doing this week on prayer in the middle of our 21 days of prayer, because it wasn't planned. It just happened that way. If you talk to Andy Reid, who planned the people of God. Okay, next slide, please. God hears. God granted him his request. It's fundamental, this, really, isn't it? Fundamental. But it's also, it's fundamentally relational. Our God gives to those who ask. And this is what Jesus said as well, wasn't it? He said, ask and you will receive. It's not be more holy and you will receive. Get on your knees 24 hours and then you'll receive. Or learn the Bible off by heart, then you'll receive. Or you know, go and give away all your possessions to the poor, then you'll receive. Or go and become a missionary in Kathmandu and then you'll receive. It's just ask and you'll receive. It says something about the nature of God. God loves to be asked. He likes to be asked. And he is gracious and longs to bless, but he's not going to bless us regardless in that sense. You know, he does bless us, but you know, understand what I'm saying. There's an abundance to live in if we ask. Now, it does say that Jabez was an honourable man amongst his fellows, and honour does lead to favour. Yeah, people get, it's a bit funny this, you know, you talk about these things with answer prayer, and you think, oh, you can't earn God's favour, you know, you can't make God do more stuff for you, you can't make him love you any more than he already does. Absolutely true, that's all true. But actually, we can grow in favour. I talked on that, I think, last term here. We can grow in favour, and that's not to be ashamed of or back away from. It's actually just about growing in friendship. And it's not something we don't do stuff to earn anything, but when you grow in favour with someone, life is easier around them with you. Everybody who's had a good friend knows that. If you grow in favour with someone, then there's a friendship that flows. All of a sudden, there's gifts that flow, there's laughter that flows, you know, there's lots of good things that flow. And it's not that you've earned that person's favour, but you've grown into it by loving them, by doing the kind of things that they love to do, hanging out with them. And so there is something about that for us. And friendship, that's what Jesus was getting on about in John 15, you know, the night before he was crucified. And he says to his disciples, doesn't he? He says, you know, this is my commandment, love one another. And he says, if you obey my commandments, then you know, he says, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. Because a servant doesn't know what his master is really up to. He just does what he's told. But a friend does know what his friend is up to. And he says, therefore, ask whatever you want and the Father will do it for you. I like to think that Jabez was a friend of God. There's no way of saying that. It just says he's honourable. But I'm sure he was developing his friendship and growing in favour. One thing I want to just say here is, because, you know, we can say that God hears, of course God hears, but actually, you know, we've just had a Jill come up and say, actually, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers or doesn't appear to answer our prayers and doesn't answer them in the way we might like. And that can be very frustrating. It can actually really test our faith, can't it? You know, I think that's one of the things, because of what Jill shared this morning, I think that's one of the things God wants to speak to us about right now. If things don't work out the way that we thought they should work out, that's a real test. How are we going to handle that? That's the thing. Because one thing's for sure, it doesn't mean that God isn't listening, that God hasn't heard. You know, one of my favorite stories is from Daniel chapter 10, where, you know, an angel arrives at, he's been praying and fasting for 3 weeks, just like we're praying and fasting for 3 weeks. And at the end, the angel arrives and he says, well, that's how I imagine, it doesn't say that. But, you know, he arrives and he says, God, from the moment you started praying, Julie, I was sent to you with the answer. And, you know, but the Prince of Persia, he resisted me these 3 weeks. And I would never have got here if Michael hadn't have come to help me. But he's the only one that came to my aid. And now I've come. So there was some kind of spiritual battle going on there, whatever you think about that. There's some kind of stuff going, there's things going on in the heavenlies we just have no idea of, which can hinder answers to prayer. And it's good to bear that in mind and not just to blame God for not listening. Give him the benefit of the doubt, as Gary Jones always says. It's good to give God the benefit of the doubt. And to be honest about things as well, though. It doesn't mean to say we can't be honest about our emotions and our feelings when we feel let down. I mean, Jesus was pretty strong on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? When clearly God hadn't forsaken him, but it felt like it. Another thing is, we must remember, we sang that song earlier, Our God is a Lion. And I saw everybody really got really excited about that. Our God is a Lion. He fights our battles. Hurrah! Come on! Don't we love that? Yeah, I thought you did. Yeah, flipping penties. No, I like that too. But you know, often we want God just to come in and bish, bash, bosh and just do it all and shake it all out. And who was it who said this morning, actually God needs us to do something, to partner with him in bringing the kingdom. Because one of the things that the Bible is very clear on, and I got this from Revelation 5. Did I share this with you last time I was here? Anybody remember that? No one remember that. I hope she didn't. I shared it a few places because it really blessed me. I was away with a bunch of guys in the Lake District, take away a bunch of guys to walk in the hills. Fantastic fun. We were in Grasmere, and one of my kids' favorite little walks is up a short hill, 400 meters up. It's Helm Crag is its title, is its name. But actually, it has another name, the Lion and the Lamb, because of the shape of the rocks on top actually looked like a lion lying down and a lamb in front of it. It's really amazing. You can see it from Grasby. Look up, and you see, wow, there's a lion on that hill. But it's not. It's obviously just rocks. And I was thinking about that, and I turned to Revelation 5, and I read Revelation chapter 5, and John's weeping. He's just weeping because no one can open the scroll. No one's found worthy to open the scroll. And the angel says to him, "Don't stop crying, John, because actually someone's been found. It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's worthy to open the scroll and to read its contents." And John gets really excited, so he looks around, so where's the lion? Where's the lion? Do you know what he sees? He sees a lamb. Standing as though slain. And it's the Lamb who reads the scroll. What is it about a lamb? What's the Bible in this image of the King of the universe as a lamb who is slain? What's God trying to get over to us? What's he trying to say to us? Mint sauce? Some of us are dreaming of Sunday lunch. No, what's he trying to say to us? I'm gentle. Armies march under all kinds of banners, don't they? Dragons? Yeah, what else? Three lions? What else? Eagles? What's in common with all of those flags? They're strong. They're fearful. They're designed to impart fear into the hearts of their enemy. Anybody want to march under a lamb? Not only a lamb, but a lamb that looks like it's been killed. That's going to put fear into your hearts of your enemy, isn't it? You're going to feel very strong going into battle with that banner, aren't you? But that's our God. Our God is a lamb. The lamb who was slain. That's our victory. We overcome not by our power, by our might, by God just making it right, regardless of what anybody wants. He wins our hearts and our minds through the sacrifice of his son, through giving himself for us. Even his enemies are overcome when he gives himself. And so the whole universe is drawn to follow him. That's amazing. Amazing. So often, this God who rules as a lamb cannot answer our prayers in the way we might like, because it would mean he'd have to ride roughshod over so many people's wills. He's not going to do that. And there's one other thing in that picture, though, that really blesses me. And there are 24 elders sitting around that throne, and each of them carrying a bowl of incense. You remember what that incense is? It's the prayers of the saints. So what is God doing with your prayers? What's he doing? Gathering them, but what's he doing? Can you feel the heart of God for you as he breathes in your prayers? As he smells them like incense? I remember what Paul wants. I want to do it for him. I'm looking for a way to do it for him. I know what Sabina loves. I want to do it for her. I'm looking for the best way to do it for her. Oh, the Joachims. Your tools. Come on. Can you see the heart of God? Feel the heart of God for you. He lives with your heart's cry. He breathes them in and out continually, looking to bring about what we desire. Of course, he can't bring about everything we desire because sometimes we're just selfish. That's what James says, isn't it? In chapter 4, verse 3, you don't get because not only do you not ask, he said that in verse 1, you don't get, but he says also you don't get because you actually just want to spend it on yourself. You pray for a Ferrari, you know, or win the pools or something, you know, they're kind of comical examples, I know. But, you know, so often our prayers can be selfish and actually God, for our sakes, won't answer totally selfish prayers that lead us into self. Like any good parent wouldn't allow their kids to wander off into selfishness. He won't allow us to do that. Okay, let's move on. Not only does he hear, but he answers, you know. And one of the passages we read this week was from Luke 8, with the man arriving at midnight and asking for his friends for bread. And his neighbor said, no, I can't. I'm in bed with my family. And he says, even though he won't do it because it's the right thing to do, he'll do it if he persists. I always think that's a bit strange. Don't you think that's a bit strange? Come on. Don't you think that's a bit strange? He says we've got to like nag God until he does it. Is that the idea he's getting at? Is it? No, it's not, is it? Is God too lazy to get up? That's when you press these pictures too far, you get to come to the wrong conclusions. But there is something in this picture about persevering, isn't there? There is something which says, it's harking back maybe to that answer prayer thing. Actually, we do need to persist. Kids, great at persisting, aren't they? They're fantastic. They're fantastic at persisting. And we need to be more like kids. Jesus said so. You know, actually, one of the reasons as a parent it's good if your kids persist, because what does it help you to understand if your kid persists? What does it help you to know? They really want it. It's not just a casual thing. They really want it. Rachel really wanted to get baptized. From the age of about 3 or 4, she was asking us all the time. 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, we had to give in. Because she was asking constantly to get baptized, you know. So we let her have that. Talking of Rachel, when she was 3, she prayed every day, every night. But when we put her to bed, we would pray with her. And every night she would pray the same prayer. I probably told you this. But it's good to retell your stories, isn't it? And she prayed every night. She said, dear Lord Jesus, please give me a baby sister. Every night, literally every night. I think, perseverance, my word, come on, you prayed that prayer, he's heard it already. Let's have something else. No, but every night it was, dear Lord Jesus, God bless mommy, God bless daddy, please give me a baby sister. Anyway, we were around at Sadie's dad's with his partner Maureen, and we were talking to them, and we just found out that Sadie was pregnant. And so we said, oh, we just got good news, Sadie's pregnant. And Rachel was playing in the corner with her toys. Remember, she's only 3, 3 and a half, maybe approaching 4 at this point. She stops playing. She looks up. She says, is mummy going to have a baby? And we said, yes. So she picked up on the language. And that night, as I tucked her into bed, do you know what her prayer was? It was! Honestly, I was shocked, and I was also kind of humbled and, you know, chastened. Her prayer was, thank you for my baby sister. So that's part of her story. She talks about it all the time. And when she talks about her own journey, that was one of the early memories for her. Then she says, oh, I should have prayed a bit more specifically. Oh, well. So anyway, that's good. Prayer, yeah. Often, you know, guys, if we're, you know, what would happen if we just stopped praying the day before it was possible for God to do it? It's been breathing it in, and then all of a sudden we give up on it, you know, like the kid who found a new toy to pray for or something else to ask for. Let's not give up. Okay. And therefore God does more than we... I'd better rattle through this. God does more than we ask. You know, I love this passage in Luke chapter 11. The disciples come to him and say, please teach us to pray. And he teaches them how to pray, and he teaches them to persevere in prayer. And he says, if you don't ask, you don't receive. If everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And then he says the most amazing thing. You know how to give good gifts to your children, but how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So you've asked to be taught how to pray. I'm going to teach you how to live in communion with my God. That's my God. He just doesn't do what we ask. He goes way beyond what we ask. Because he's the kind of God that Paul says does immeasurably more than all we ask, think, or imagine. Beautiful. Absolutely stunningly beautiful. Okay. Can we move? Scroll on. Not only this, God redeems, because his name was a curse. Wasn't it? Hello, he will cause pain. Vote for he will cause pain. Oh, come on. Names are important, aren't they? Do you imagine that was your name? How would you feel if people were shouting that to you every day? That's awful, isn't it? We've got to be careful what we name our kids. We called the answer to Rachel's prayer, we called Emmanuel, because she was born Christmas Day. But I love that. One of the reasons we called her Emmanuel was, A, it was Christmas, but B, I just love the thought of crying out every day, God with us! God with us! It's a secret little thing that I've got that I just shout out every day. God with us! It's a beautiful thing to declare, but this was a curse. He will cause pain. What kind of mum would give their child this kind of name? I love the fact that God turned it around. And, you know, scripture makes it clear, doesn't it? From the first book, Genesis, at the end of the first book, Joseph says to his brothers, what you intended for harm, God has brought great good out of. God intended for good, he actually says. So, wow. So even when stuff happens that we can get angry about, we feel let down about, let's live in the hope that God is able, like Jabez, let's live in hope that actually God is able to redeem it. God is able to turn it around. Because stuff happens in our lives that is really difficult and really not good. And actually, we're right to be angry about it. We're right to be upset and to feel let down about it. But let's not, therefore, enter into cursing or enter into bitterness. But let's rise above and be like Jabez and believe that God is able, willing to turn it around for good. You know, my brother, you know, just down the road here on the A4, literally a few hundred yards from here, he nearly died in a motorcycle accident. How bad is that? You think that's one of the... For 4 days I visited him, he was unconscious. I thought he was going to die, maybe. And when he got around, he was completely, his leg was broken in a few places, his shoulder was broken, his arm was paralyzed, nearly, you know, and right mess. And do you know what? He woke up next to a guy called Paul Saw, who some of you know and remember because he was a member of King's Church in Slough. And he talked to him nonstop about Jesus. And Di Chapman came and she came and talked to my brother about Jesus. And then he followed him to Southampton and talked more about Jesus and took him to church, where he met some nice young ladies. So he thought he'd go along to church because there were some nice young ladies and they led him to Christ. And so what was really, you know, harmful in his life turned around for good. It's never that God designed the accident, but God was able to redeem something from it. You know, God didn't inspire Jabez's mother to call him, he will cause pain. But God is able to turn it around and get glory from it, which is fantastic. Just like the cross, for goodness sake, the ultimate symbol of pain and just the, one of the worst things humanity has ever done, a person's ever done to another person, and nail them to a tree. God is able to make that the symbol of hope for the whole of the world. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What harmful thing in our lives that has happened to us or is happening to us might God want to turn around for good, and how might he do that? I won't talk about my story too long, but I grew up with such little self-esteem. I thought, well, everyone was better than me. That's the honest, it wasn't from a good place, it was from a bad place, because I just grew up in a council estate, got bullied at school, got bullied on the council estate, got, you know, and so I ran from everything and everyone. But God used that because it gave me an understanding of what it's like to be unnoticed. And so I noticed people and, produced love in me for people. Next slide, please. Okay. That's where I want to finish. But I want us to pray, because prayer is not something to be talked about. It's for us to talk to God, isn't it? And so can we spend a minute or two just in prayer? Let's pray silently to start with, and then we'll read this prayer out together, because this prayer is just phenomenal. I could spend all week teaching on this prayer and you'd be bored to tears. But this is the most exciting prayer, the most exciting prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. But let's be like Jabez now and learn from history, from the stories that we read in Scripture of God's faithfulness and his ability to turn around even our rebellion to good. And think about our own lives, the struggles and the pains and the disappointments. And make a prayer like Jabez. Bless me. Enlarge my territory. Be with me, that I might not cause pain. Or that I might not be in pain. Father, help us to hand over our deepest disappointments to you, not to hide from them, not to pretend they don't exist in a nice Christian kind of way, but to bare our souls and to speak like Job spoke, that we might boldly approach you and receive grace, knowing that you don't get offended by our reality, by our honesty. You're more likely to get offended by us hiding stuff and pretending. So, Father, we hand over that disappointment or those disappointments to you. Guard our hearts. Keep them in gratitude for what you have done, celebrating the good things we've seen and not dwelling in the things we haven't seen yet or the bad things that we've seen. Help us to be men and women like Jabez. Who refuse to dwell in the curse, but actually come against it, not in their own strength, but just in asking you to reverse it. knowing that you are a lion that does fight battles for us, and that your deepest desire is to grant us the answers to our prayers. Help us to love one another. And grant us patience until you're able to, and persistence until you're able to answer the fullness of what we prayed, knowing that our prayers are not wasted, but they're gathered up and held, carried before you night and day as you breathe them in, looking for, to answer them and to honor them. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this people. And if we can just say this prayer together. It's a wonderful prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Amen. And God granted their requests. You know, it could be that some of you, in thinking about the disappointments, need to grab a friend here this morning and just pray over it. Hand it to God. Might not have to, but you might feel like you want to, and that's great. If you just want to keep it between you and the Lord, that's also great. Everything's okay. But I will encourage you just to deal with it. And not just to hold on to it or live in the pain of it, but to hand it to God and let his peace and let his love hold you through it. Amen. Thank you.